Hello Facebook Ads people, I'm Konstantinos and this is the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Hello guys, another podcast. So let's start, let's go straight away to it. The first thing that I want to discuss is I'm getting messages like this from one of the people that it has been to the channel for a very long period. It says, hi Konstantinos, I'm having terrible attribution on Meta since last few days. Ad performance has also dropped significantly. Are you having similar issues? Any suggestion? So basically, the last two or three days are a little bit difficult with Facebook ads. They are not consistent to the previous period of 10 or 15 days that the results were good. But I think that it has to do with what is happening right now in the United States with... Nobody thinks that the United States is going to bankrupt, basically, but I think that people are a little bit in the mood of not buying because they're afraid, you know, and so on. So try to lower your budgets if you're not having good results. In my opinion, don't launch new campaigns in this period because you are starting with very bad CPMs and you're competing with campaigns that are not going to work very well initially, while the major thing that we have on Facebook ads is that we want them to work initially so that we can continue having good results after that and they can optimize. So just try to avoid it and try to lower budgets instead of going to higher budgets. Now that we discussed this, let's go to the main topic. Today we're going to discuss a little bit about shop ads and why I believe that they're going to become a major thing in the next year or so. First of all, I need to say something about the Advantage Plus, which is kind of on the same topic, because one of the major campaigns that we're going to use shop ads is going to be the Advantage Plus since everybody's using them right now. What did we learn from the Advantage Plus? That Facebook put it the Advantage Plus, it gave a lot of credits to people, like they do give credits now for people to do shop ads instead of just website ads. They propose to do website and shop ads. And for all of you, for all that don't know what shop ads is that instead of going to your website, people are going to go into your Meta or Meta, into your Facebook or Instagram shop, and they're going to convert inside this shop. So basically, why is this good? Because Meta is actually keeping all the information, and after what happened with iOS, Meta said, okay, f*** it, I'm going to go and I'm going to create my own shop so that I can have all the information inside. Keep all the data inside. Whoever is converting inside the shops, basically, I'm going to keep the data and I'm going to be able to target more and more people, making the ads more efficient. Because all of the things that happened with the iOS 14, they were actually super problematic for Meta. Google is also preparing their own in-platform shop so that they can keep all of the data there and they're not going to have any losses between the different devices, or now it's Android and iOS, maybe it's going to be another later. They don't want to have any losses over there. So the whole concept is that, yes, we're going to make the shops work, and like the Advantage Plus, we're going to give a lot of credits to people so that they can start using it and our algorithm is going to learn much faster. The thing is that the shops right now, as it seems from the testings that I have done with the free credits, they're working, but there are some extra things to that which I want to point out. But before we go there, let's discuss what happened with Advantage Plus. Advantage Plus was introduced in September, not all accounts had it, and now I can see more and more accounts having it, and most probably it's going to become something that is going to be a feature for all of the accounts. And the way that I see it, it worked pretty well. Because a lot of people starting adopting it, using it, and so on, so the algorithm learned super fast how to work with an Advantage Plus campaign. And of course, Facebook is trying to make Facebook ads simpler so that everybody can use them, just go and do one campaign with several different creatives. The problem is that the moment they do that, it's becoming more and more complex because they're just adding new features in a platform that was already built from the beginning to be a simple platform that everybody could use, and now it's becoming more and more difficult because of all of the additions that came in. And now I can see that they're also removing aggregate events and stuff, and they try to make it simple again. This is where the consolidation goes and everything. But all of these things that Meta is announcing, as soon as people are using them, the algorithm is learning and is becoming better. And you know from my YouTube videos, if you don't know, you can watch the videos that one year before, I have spent $1 million with a credit program from Meta for shop ads, and they sucked. Right now, what has changed? What has changed is that Meta took all of this data and it understood how it can make people actually convert. So right now they're giving more funding, and they're doing also one more thing. They are, because they understood that when the Advanced Plus came, it became super popular because it was working. So as soon as it was working, more people were using it, and that brought a super fast learning to the algorithm about Advanced Plus. So they are trying to do the same now with the shop ads. And what they're trying to do is that there are 20% codes that they are being given to customers in order to convert within the shop. So they are actually training also the public in order to use the shops. Like, it's not something crazy, just use the shop, don't go to the website. And the other thing is that they are going to refund the advertisers within Shopify for this 20% discount that they give. But as soon as they give this 20% discount, first of all, they are making the ads more successful because people are converting, because they are buying something with lower prices. And the other thing that I want to point out here about this is that the whole concept of shop, even if we call Facebook ads, Facebook shop ads, and Instagram ads, shop ads, the whole concept over here is becoming more and more powerful. And in all of the forums everywhere, like it used to happen with, like what happened with the Advanced Plus campaigns, now everybody's talking about the shop ads, and because they gave so many credits, everybody's using them. And now everybody thinks that this is the new thing that you should use in order to be successful with your ads. Maybe this is a solution for all of us that we had very big issues with the attribution model of 7 days. We had very big issues with the reporting and losing data to iOS devices. With all of these different things, and basically we were left without any data when the Facebook platform was working very well. We didn't have the data that we wanted in order to optimize. So this is one thing. But now that we analyzed how Facebook is going to use the shops, and the shops are going to be created through Shopify, it's going to be an easy process. If you have a catalog and everything, you will be able to create a shop, and it's going to integrate the image from there. And I'm sure that there are going to be more and more cases of integrations that they are going to help you to create a shop super fast within Facebook or Instagram. There are some extra things that we need to discuss though about this, because Meta is not doing this only from the perspective of actually keeping the data and making the platform better, but they are also going to make some money from the transaction fees. So over here, we have, first of all, a transaction fee. Here I'm putting a message that says the 5% selling fee for transactions on Facebook and Instagram shops checkouts is waived through June 30, 2023. Starting July 2023, Meta will remove this selling fee and charge a standard processing fee only intended to cover processing costs. For Shopify merchants, you will be charged payments processing fees by Shopify directly. So the situation is this. They tell you that we're going to charge you 5%, which is a huge amount. It's the most expensive transaction fee that I have ever seen. People, they have to pay through PayPal, they have to pay through Stripe, through other platforms. Somebody has to pay for these fees for these companies. So Facebook is going to charge 5%. They're saying that this is only for processing fees. And they're going to change that on July 1st, 2023, that they're going to have new rules. And one last thing that I forgot to tell you before we go to and read to all of this article over here about the costs is that by the April 24th of the next year, everybody should use Facebook and shop and website ads, because this is something that is going to be mandatory. You're not going to be able to actually use just website ads. Okay, you will have to use website and shop. So just start getting used with the idea, because this is going to be a main thing. And also, they're removing aggregate events, which I will tell you after that why I believe that they're removing them. Let's go to the sellers. Here's the message: sellers who have onboarded to shops via Facebook and Instagram app on Shopify. If you have a Shopify account that's connected to Facebook, you will be the charged the processing fee by Shopify directly for your Meta on-site orders. If you're a Shopify merchant, your orders on Meta are processed using Shopify payments. Okay, so you're going to pay the fee from that. If you use Shopify payments for your online store, you will be charged the same amount as your online store by Shopify directly. Okay, if you are using Shop Pay for third-party gateways via Shopify, this change will not impact your website processor or web order fees. You will be charged by Shopify directly for our Meta on-site orders. And then it gives some examples. So it says, sellers who have onboarded to shops via Commerce Manager, if you onboarded shops in Commerce Manager, when you make a sale, we deduct a fee from your payout automatically. We call this this a processing fee. You keep the rest of your earnings. Please see the rate table below. Thank God, Facebook, that you give us the rest of our earnings. So we have transaction type, and we have card, PayPal, balance checkout, and shop pay. And we have the fee, which is going to be, for the card, the payment processing fee will be charged by Shopify directly, 2.9%. I still think it's high. A payment processing fee will be charged by Shopify directly. This is for PayPal, 3.49. PayPal is always the most expensive. And then we have Shop Pay. A payment processing fee will be charged by Shopify directly, 2.9%. And then it gives an example. It says, here's an example to better illustrate how we would apply the 2.9% card processing fee. And the example is, if the card total transaction cost is 10 USD, including the total sales price, any shipping fees and applicable taxes, such as sales tax, will deduct 0.29, which is on the first category, which is the card over here, or the shop pay, for the processing fee. Your payout will be 9.71. So this is what they're saying here, that they are keeping 2.9%. If you were going to do this with PayPal, you would have to pay... I'm not good at math. Yeah, not going to even... You would have to pay 1.49, I guess it's the correct, which was going to be the fee for PayPal. If I'm wrong with my math, please don't kill me on the comments. Then it says, Meta processing fee is calculated as a percentage of the total transaction amount, including any taxes, surcharges, shipping, or state-mandated fees applied to the transition. Includes the cost of payment processing, okay, applies to all checkout transactions for all product categories on Facebook and Instagram shops, is subject to any applicable taxes and fee, chargeback fee. For sellers that have onboarded shop via Facebook ads, again, the same thing, Shopify will manage chargebacks directly. For sellers that have onboarding shops via Commerce Manager, please reference out about and stuff, and it has some articles that you will have to read. So, what do we understand out of that? First of all, shops are going to be mandatory by the 24th of the next year. I believe it was 24th of April, the next year. Secondly, Facebook is pushing a lot of funding and everything in order to make them mainstream, and people will start using them so that it can improve the algorithm, and the algorithm is going to make them better and better, and people are going to use them more. It's very crucial for Facebook to do that for two reasons. One reason is the money, of course, of the transaction fees that is going to take out of that. Even if they say that this is just for processing, I don't believe that they're not going to make any money out of it. And secondly, the second thing is that they need all the data within the Facebook platform, because after what happened with April, basically they say, we trust nobody. From now on, we're going to do it on our own so that we can be a non-dependent platform to other things like Android or iOS. So the situation is this, the shop ads are here to stay. In the accounts, I have also videos that I'm showing that when I use the credit, it worked very well. And of course, maybe because they're giving 20% discounts and stuff, they're working very well. On the other hand, you're having sales that are happening within Facebook and sales that are happening on your website. So both of those are consisting your total ROAS. So maybe it's good. But I think that this is the future. And one of the most common things that we will do 1 year from now, it would be Advantage Plus, website and shop. As an option, and purchase event as optimization. So this is the thing with the shop ads. Let's go to the next main subject for today, which is the aggregate events. In the previous podcast, I told you that they are removing them and I wasn't sure. But one day later, sadly, I have seen that this is a thing that is happening no matter what. And I saw also this message says, set up improvements for web campaigns. You can now optimize for more than 8 web events as part of aggregate event measurement. Related to this, you no longer need to set up and prioritize web events, nor select the domain for iOS 14.5 in Events Manager. There's nothing you need to do for any of these changes. So basically, they are removing aggregate events. Now, there are two things that we need to analyze on that. First of all, you don't need to do domain verification anymore. You don't need to do the aggregated events, and you don't need to prioritize events also there. And when you go to your ad level, you don't need to put the domain anymore, but you can just put the pixel as we used to do in the past. There's two things that I want to point out. Either the Facebook ads algorithm has found, or the pixel or the API has found a way of actually tracking better, so they don't care about aggregate events anymore and they have done it with another way. Or because of the fact that we are going to a period that we're going to say that, okay, we have Facebook and Instagram shop ads, I don't want to think, but maybe they go through a transition that they say, okay, the shop ads are going to be more powerful. If you want to run ads to your website, run also to your website. But the shop ads are the ones that they are going to give you all of them. All of the sales and everything that is happening. You're not going to have problems with Google Ads, for example, stealing the sales from Facebook and so on. And maybe they are removing the aggregate events in order to actually be prepared for the next year, that they are going to go into a phase of having as a mainstream for meta ads to do shop ads instead of website. And website, maybe it can be something extra that you can do, but mainly maybe they are focusing on creating a platform that is going to have also the marketplace within the platform and not in the websites of each company. We will see what they're trying to do with that, but for sure it's an interesting thing. If you haven't done your shops, I think you should start setting them up and start working. There is also a funding which is running, and I have said in my video or in different podcasts that you should look for this funding, because it's a 10K funding and I think that it's going to help you, but you need to have a shop. Recently, I took another funding of 10K in a store, so you still have time to do it. Now, and I don't think that these fundings are going to stop, because as I told you, they want to push the concept of shop ads so that the algorithm can learn fast. I think that the Advantage Plus has changed everything in terms of how they perceive the progress of one new feature, because Advantage Plus has proven that it can go super, super, super fast if everybody is going to use it on the Facebook platform. Now, let's go to your questions. Let's go to Paolo. Hello, Konstantinos. I hope you're having a great time there in Greece. No, I'm not, because it's raining and it's still raining. And we are considered the country of sun and stuff, but I don't know what's happening. It's already May 25th. And Still, I haven't been to the beach. Imagine. At this point of the year, I would have done already two. I would have already gone twice to the beach and done two baths already. I have a dumb question. There are no dumb questions, Paolo. There are just questions that haven't been asked. Do you usually exclude the people who already bought in your campaigns? If yes, like the image and he shows something. It's actually a dumb question. No, I'm joking. So basically, I don't exclude the people who have bought unless if we are talking about retargeting. In retargeting, I'm not going to include the people who have bought in the last 30 days. Yes, I'm going to exclude them. On the campaigns that they are cold traffic campaigns, I'm not going to exclude people who have bought for one main reason, basically. And the second one, which is something more deep. The main reason is that even if somebody who has purchased in the past comes to a cold traffic campaign, the audience is so big that it's not an issue. Secondly, maybe they are going to convert again. Okay. On retargeting, it really matters because the audience that we are having there, it's very small. So if we put also the people who have bought there, it makes a difference. But if we are targeting 50 million people and inside there you're having 10,000 people that they have bought in the last 30 days, it's nothing. You don't need to exclude people. Also, the second reason is that you need to understand that e-commerce and Facebook ads and stuff, it's not about having always fresh clients. Whoever is coming to me and he tells me that I just want from Facebook to always have fresh clients, I'm not working with them because they don't understand how e-commerce is working. E-commerce is all about repeated clients. And if someone is going to convert again, even if they have bought in the past, it's fine. Now, also here, we need to understand what you're asking. Are you asking of excluding people who have bought 180 days ago? Because I'm totally against that. Do you mean excluding people who bought 30 days ago into your cold traffic? Okay, do it if you want. It doesn't matter because the audience is going to be very big into your cold traffic. In retargeting, I think it's a necessity if you're using retargeting. The other thing is that in the 180 days, if you say I just don't want because I'm going to convert them through mail and stuff, this is a behavior which I don't like. I believe that Facebook ads are there in order also to convert people from the past. And it doesn't have to be done always with retargeting. Maybe cold traffic is going to get a client from the past and they're going to convert again and steal its data, which is going to help you to optimize to find more sales. So I'm against of excluding people who purchased in the last 180 days from your cold traffic ads. I think that it doesn't matter if you exclude people for the last 30 days into your cold traffic ads that they have purchased. And I surely believe that you should exclude people that they have purchased in the last 30 days into your retargeting ads. I think that I answered this extensively. Let's go to Alex. Hi, Konstantinos. What do you do if your campaign isn't having consistent results? I mean, one day you have two, three sales, then another one or two. You have no sales. So this is a very typical question, and I'm going to pair it here with this. It says, "Hi Konstantinos, I started a campaign with Crazy Method in May 22. Initially, the campaign showed promising results with above 3 ROAS in the first 2 days. In 24 and 25, no sales. What can I do in this situation? Thank you in advance for your time and consideration. I look forward." Okay, thank you very much also. So I'm going to pair these two together. Why? Because they are similar. The thing that we need to understand is that when we have a new pixel, the results are going to be completely inconsistent. What have we said about Facebook? That when Facebook is starting a campaign, it's giving us the best possible results in order to get these results, then find a similar person to them, then a similar person and convert, and continue having sales. But the initial results is a boost. But if your pixel is not strong enough or not trained enough, it's not going to be able to actually continue this legacy of the first 1 or 2 days. So what are we doing? Relaunches. This is where relaunches are coming. You duplicate the campaign, you start it again the next day at 6 a.m. eventually, by doing that, not abusing it, doing it, okay? Like this guy over here that he said that he was waited for 1 or 2 days in order to see. If you see 1 or 2 days without, not one, 2 days without any results, then you have to relaunch your campaign. You should not wait. So in new pixels, this is a very common behavior and it happens all the time. I'm getting messages like this all the time. The point here is that with relaunches, you can do this again and again. Until when is the big question? Until you have consistent results. I have also another video in here, which I'm showing. The videos are so many that I don't even remember the titles. But there is another video which I'm showing that I'm now in the phase with a company which has a new pixel in the acne niche. And I'm getting now consistent sales with the pixel. But now we are trying to see how we're going to make it profitable. So we are out of the point that we were getting one sale here, one sale there, one sale there. Now we're at the point that we're getting consistent sales. And now we said, okay, now that we get consistent sales with the pixel and the pixel understands it, we are not having the ROAS that we want. So how can we go and we can improve it? Because you cannot always improve the ROAS by just making your pixel better or that. So the situation is this: be prepared of having inconsistent results all the time. Inconsistency, inconsistency, relaunch. Inconsistency, inconsistency, relaunch. At some point it's going to give you bigger periods of success, then it's going to die again, and you're going to relaunch it up to the point that you will have a campaign that is going to run for a long period. When you have that, that means that most probably you are able to continue on lookalikes, or you are able to continue on broad targeting and other kind of targetings. But don't be afraid, because these are super common behaviors and they're happening all the time. Relaunch is your biggest weapon over here. Hey, Konstantinos, do you use Advantage Plus alongside of standard CBO, or do you use Advantage Plus only at the moment? It really depends on the account. There are accounts that I'm using only Advantage Plus, especially if I have a lot of creatives from the company coming all the time. There are companies that I'm using CBO and Advantage Plus. I'm not the kind of guy who is going to just abandon everything else just because Advantage Plus is here and it's strong. I would like to keep using other methods all the time. Just because I believe in diversity, and you know that I'm not the type of person, at least in this channel, we don't follow up the consolidation idea of one campaign. We do several campaigns. So yes, I'm doing also CBO still. For example, lookalikes. The only way to use lookalikes in some accounts is the CBO campaigns and the stack lookalikes method, which is working very well. So I don't think that Advantage Plus is the only solution, especially in new accounts. The thing that we discussed in another podcast, most probably I'm going to make a video explaining it. I believe that the crazy method now is going more and more through the phase of being super effective into new accounts. Into older accounts with seasoned pixels, we will go to more consolidated methods like the Advantage Plus, but still we're going to build campaigns on top to each other with Advantage Plus. That's the difference that we are proposing in this channel. The other thing is that I believe that in new accounts, you need to go from interest to lookalikes and then to broad. If you can go from interests and you can find interests that you can target. But other than that, CBO is offering other things like dynamic creative ads, for example, okay, that you can use. On Advantage Plus, we have the normal ads. On CBO, you can use lookalikes. So don't just think that because everybody is using Advantage Plus, you should do the same. There are other things that you can do also, from lookalikes to interest and stuff, and you should not just stop using all of that just because Advantage Plus is working. So I think that you should go to this kind of solutions, especially if you are a new account. If you're a new account and a new pixel, you will have to go through the process of doing stack lookalikes, for example, in CBO. You cannot avoid it. But if you're an old account, by all means, you can just use Advantage Plus and it's going to work well. And you will just focus at that point, not in the training of your pixel, but in the content and how you're going to create different creatives that are going to produce you different kind of results. Let's go to Alex over here. Hi, Konstantinos, your daily budget expectations make sense. Also, why not test creatives in already running advanced press campaign? My question is, I have uploaded one video about that, I think today, or no, yesterday. I think yesterday I uploaded a video about why you should not test creatives in a working advanced plus. You should see it. My question is, I have created 45 hooks using your pain point method and made first 7 creatives. How do you recommend testing them and validating which one is the best? Dynamic creative or single ad ABO or something else? Thank you. So he's talking about the pain point method, which is another video that you should see, which is how I create different hooks using ChatGPT AI and how this is helping me also to create different creatives. The best for me to go and actually evaluate if some creatives are working or not, in my opinion, is to go through the process of doing an Advantage Plus with all of your creatives inside and an ideal budget, and then optimize the Advantage Plus with the way that we showed in the channel. I don't believe in ABO testing. I just believe that at the same time that you are going to test, you need to have also sales. The whole point over here is not for you to be able to say, okay, at the end of the day, I tested evenly with the same budgets, all of my ads, and I found which one is the best. This is not the case for me. For me, the case is to have all of these creatives, test them in Advantage Plus, and also see which one has worked and actually has produced sales and try to be profitable. Not just spend an enormous amount of money on testing and then try to put it in one campaign in order to see if it's going to work. Because from my experience, even when you do this, it doesn't mean that the ad set that has won your testing phase, because it optimized in a hot pocket, it's going to work in the new campaign that you're going to put it. Next question. Just have one question in mind. Let's say we created an audience of 3% lookalikes. So do we need to create again another lookalike audience for another ad, or it keeps auto-updating as soon as we start getting sales? So we have to create every time a new audience. So basically, the lookalikes are being auto-updated. Out of habit, I just refresh them every 6 months. Maybe I will go and I will do them all over again. But there is no valid reason for that. I just do it so that I can feel that if anything happens and it didn't auto-update, I will have proper audiences. But yes, they auto-update. Let's go to the next. I have 3 different creatives, each with 3 different hooks. So 9 new creatives in total. How would you go about launching, testing those ads? I see more success with Advanced Plus in the specific account, but I'm not sure if 3 different Advanced Plus campaigns means with each creative and its 3 hook versions make sense, since most likely all the spend will go towards on a hook version on this creative. However, testing all 3 creatives within 1 CPO will most likely also return in 1 ad set with 1 creative and its 3 versions, taking more spend. In which case, even Advanced Plus 3 campaigns would be better. Okay, a bit complicated. ABO might be the best option to control spend, but I never saw success with ABO on this account, even with the best assets. How would you go about testing these creatives? Thank you very much. I would do 1 Advantage Plus and put them all together. Because, as I said 5 minutes ago, you don't want to... It sounds a little bit paradox, as a paradox, but it's not. I don't want to test evenly all of them. What I care about is while I'm testing them to find which one is working, to be also profitable. The ultimate goal is not to be okay with myself at the end of the day and say that I spent an even amount of money to them, so I'm happy that I tested them equally. I don't care about testing them equally. I care about testing them and having sales at the same time. One more thing, ABO. You're doing ABO and you're having 5 different ad sets and you're testing. One of them, let's say that's working because it was lucky enough to find a hot pocket. It doesn't mean that if you take it out of the ABO after that point and you take it to another campaign that is going to work, because maybe it's not going to find the hot pocket the second time. This is why I don't care about the ABO testing or another testing of different campaigns and stuff. What I care about is putting them all together. The one who is going, that is going to win, just because it was lucky, just because it found the hot pocket, it doesn't matter. This one is going to be the one that I'm going to spend all of my money. And this is how I'm going to do testing while I'm also trying to be profitable. So the goal here is not to test them efficiently, all of them. The goal is to put them all, test them, and try to be profitable at the same time. Next question. Hi, Konstantinos. Can I start the crazy method with $100? Yes, you can. Currently, I'm running ABO with 70 per day. Product cost is 34. My average CPA sale is 15. Last 7 days, CPA is 16.59. Targeted countries, USA and UK. Hold that account with good pixel data. What is your suggestion? Thank you. The point here, the question is wrong. It's not about if you can use the crazy method with 100, yes, you can. And over here, from what I can see, your average cost per sale is about 15, let's say 16. So you can easily do 5 ad sets like this. Fine, you can do the crazy method with 5 ad sets. The point is not to do the crazy method. The point is to do a normal campaign CBO with different interests, different lookalikes, whatever. Find what is working, and then move the one ad set that has worked to the crazy method with this way. If your pixel is seasoned enough, as you say over here, what you can do is you can do broad targeting with crazy method and 5 ad sets and have different demographics there based on the breakdown of your results. If you break down the results of the past and you see that you are having sales from ages of 18 and 50 on women only, use this demographic. And the other thing that you can do is a stacked lookalikes. You can do stacked lookalikes crazy method over here, because if you have an altered account, it's going to work. But if you don't have a seasoned pixel and you're asking if you're going to be able to do the crazy method, the answer is that the crazy method is a scaling method. It's being done, first of all, when you have a good pixel. Secondly, not only when you have a good pixel, even with not a good pixel, it can work because it can help you find different hot pockets. But the goal here is to find something that is working and then try to scale it even more with the crazy method. The crazy method is a scaling method, or in the new ad accounts is a method that's going to help you find hot pockets when your pixel is not strong enough to find hot pocket in every ad that you will do. Next question. Very good video. You make good quality video and well edited. It's really nice. Thank you. I had an idea, but I would like to have your opinion. Indeed, I made a CBO excluding 2G, 3G, 4G. He's talking about internet connection. Thinking, what about 5G? Thinking that people only buy when they are at home, Wi-Fi. Good or bad idea? This is a very old idea that it says that if you're in the comfort on your at your home, in the comfort of your house, then you're going to buy because you can pull out your credit card, for example, easily and order something. The truth is that this is so outdated, because everything now is connected. There are people that they are in the cafeteria and they talk to each other and they just buy. I have seen girls, for example, buying something from an e-shop. They don't have to go to their home to connect to the Wi-Fi. The second thing is that the concept of the credit card and that you're not going to be okay of taking it out, there are other ways that people are buying now, like Apple Pay, PayPal. They even have Stripe in their phones, so they don't need to pull out the credit card and do this, watch it and stuff. So also in my country, people are buying stuff because they're going to pay on delivery. So this is not something that I think that it's a good idea. I think it's outdated, and I think that people are not buying only when they are connected to Wi-Fi. Maybe this is an idea which is coming from a past period that basically we had only Wi-Fi, I guess, and when you had 2G, for example, the situation was completely different also in the e-commerces. Maybe on 2G, for example, they were not even optimized for mobile phones, I don't know, because we started optimizing for mobile phones, the websites, after one point. Now, if you see the traffic, most of the traffic is coming from mobile phones. 90%, and the sales are coming also from there. So don't expect from people to buy from their home only. They're buying from several places, even with 5G or 4G. Next question. What happens if you include interest and lookalikes in an ad set? Obviously, both have worked in the past, and you use highest volume rather than CBO. You use highest volume rather than CBO. So this is called the blender method inside my course, Alex. And I have used it extensively. Before the expand audience button becomes mandatory for all of the ad sets. Back in the day, I was using lookalikes and interests, and this was doing a very good blend. In theory, it can work again. You can use a lookalike on the top, you can use an interest, you can put them together, and the theory says that they will have to, you know, try to find a common ground. People that are already on the lookalike and on the interest, and fine, maybe it's going to optimize in one of them. Maybe they're going to help each other to find the ideal thing. But this is something that they used to call the blender method. I have the video also in my YouTube channel from the past, and it was working flawlessly. You can test it. Next question. As you can see, all of your campaigns are Advanced Plus and one remarketing based on the frequency. Is doing remarketing still a good practice, as many advertisers, including me, do not implement the strategy anymore? First of all, we cannot refer to retargeting as a strategy. Retargeting is not a strategy. Retargeting is on the fundamentals. It's cold traffic ads and retargeting ads. So this is not a strategy. Secondly, the biggest mistake, and I told you also on the comment, that you do as an advertiser, and I'm going to talk to you in a different way from the way that I talk with other people, that it's not their job. The biggest mistake that you can do as an advertiser is that you're going to do all of them. If you have something working in one account, you will try to impose the same things on the other ad accounts. It's not like that. You need to be creative. You need to go to the other ad accounts and see if you will have to use exactly the same method that has worked in the others, or if you have to adapt or use something completely different. I'm not using the same method. In this ad account that you have got, yes, I was using only Advanced Plus campaigns. In other ad accounts, I'm using CBO retargeting also and Advanced Plus. In other ad accounts, I'm using only CBO and not even Advanced Plus. So it really depends on what you want to do and the different ad accounts that you're having. So don't be fixated into a blueprint and just follow it everywhere. Last thing, there are companies that they need retargeting. And I know that there is a trend now in Facebook that says that you should not use retargeting because the Advanced Plus campaigns are stealing sales from the retargeting. But let me tell you, first of all, that Advanced Plus now, they're launching a feature that's going to exclude retargeting audience. You can pick from 20%, 30%, 40% of your retargeting audience to be excluded, which means that then you can do other retargeting ads for your retargeting audience. Secondly, there are funnels and different companies that they are just doing ads, and then they do retargeting ads in order to complete the process. For example, if you sell furniture, maybe you are warming people through a funnel process, and then you are retargeting them in order to make them convert because it's a higher ticket item, or maybe it's a course, and you need to do different videos in the different funnels that you're convincing someone to buy or not. If you're not using retargeting also, there are companies that they want to have different targeting ads from cold traffic ads. So don't be... you know, don't rush to think that, okay, retargeting is something that we're not going to use. It's all about the company that you have, the ad account, and the different problems that each ad account has, and the different strategy that each ad account has. But yes, there are ad accounts that, because of the fact that we're using Advanced Plus, I'm not using also retargeting because there is no point. What I don't like is to take something and think that this is what is working across all accounts. It's not like that. It's much more complex, and it's not like you're going to implement one thing to all of them and it's going to work. I'm trying to protect you. This is why I'm telling you this. Because if you do that, then you're going to go to other accounts, you're going to fail miserably. And it's pity because you are not going to try a lot of other things. And maybe you would have succeeded with other things instead of just trying this one thing that that has worked in this one account because this is how the other account is working. Anyway, next one. If you see specific demographics, age, gender perform better than others, do you try running campaigns to those demographics only, or do you just run it broadly and let the campaign optimize? I said earlier in the crazy method that this is something that I do a lot, especially with broad targeting crazy method. I do it a lot. For example, and now, by the way, this is something that Meta announced about the Advanced Plus campaigns, that you're going to be able to also exclude specific ages. I don't know about gender, but they said about ages, maybe gender also. It should be gender also. It doesn't make any sense to be only ages. So this is something that's coming also there, and it would be very interesting to see how it worked in the initial Advanced Plus, then go to an Advanced Plus that's going to use just the specific demographics. I do it all the time. I think that it's super beneficial when you see that, for example, your sales are coming from these specific ages and you don't have to target the others. Of course, your pixel is also capable of doing it on its own, but there's no problem of helping it and go right away to the hot pocket audience that you want to target. Last question. Hello, have you ever advertised a culinary knife brand? Is it allowed? I used to advertise through an agency, Knife Aid, which was a company that you sharpen, that you send your knives with an envelope and you sharpen them. Basically, I think they were also on Shark Tank. Very nice idea. And I used to advertise to other companies that they were selling knives. You are getting some rejected ads because they believe that you are trying to sell a weapon, but then you categorize it as a kitchen thing and stuff, or cooking or whatever, and you are going to be fine. Yes, I have done it. Yes, you are getting some rejected ads, but you can overcome it and it's going to work flawlessly. Let's go to the last thing here before we close. How much time do we? Okay, so it's going to be smaller. Fine. So let's talk about this thing that I have seen. Sometimes, you know, you're seeing some job posts and you say that this thing has all the red flags, okay? And here we have a person that says, Facebook and Instagram social media marketing. I need to help me with social media marketing on my new business. I offer bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, treatment and vitamin IV injections. Guys, these are all red flags, okay? If you run ads for weight loss, for injections, for hormone replacement, all of that, you're going to have huge, huge issues. Rejected ads, problems, you know, all of that. These are all red flag niches. I have no experience with social media marketing and need someone that can be patient and understanding. You have to be patient and understanding because you don't know what kind of problems you are getting into. Out of belief, I wouldn't work with someone that is doing hormone replacement or whatever. The point here is that I have seen companies doing the hormone replacement. I have done ads for weight loss. Apparently, they didn't help me either. Vitamins and stuff, yes, injections, never. I think that you can advertise on all of these things, but they are super, super, super dangerous in terms of how you are going to use the ads and what you are going to say, because you might get banned for several reasons. And the other thing that I have as a problem is, for example, on hormone replacement, I believe that there's going to be so much hate on the comments and everything that it's going to be problematic already. So it's very difficult, you know, it's like when you do ads for, let's say someone wants to do ads for Islam in the United States. You can try to target people that they worship Islam, But you're going to have a lot of people saying negative things like terrorists or whatever to that. And it's making your life super difficult in terms of advertising. I haven't done it, but I know accounts that they had this kind of issues for these niches, which is completely the opposite from advertising, for example, the Christianity niche within United States. Imagine going to advertising the Christianity niche in Qatar, okay, or in Saudi Arabia, just to find Christians inside there. You understand that you were going to have some conflicts. The same thing is happening with the hormone replacement. I think it's going to be super difficult. Anyway, there's no point to analyze it more. If you're thinking of starting a business, try to see how you're going to advertise it, if your goal is to advertise it, because after you do the business, after you do the website, after you have the idea, after you do everything, then you go to advertise on Facebook and Konstantinos or any Konstantinos tells you that this is a problem, we cannot advertise for that. Well, it's going to be too late, and then you will have to give the battle with whatever you have. That's all I had for you guys. I hope you like the podcast. I hope that you understand the importance of the shop ads and how this is going to go in the next year with shop ads, that they're going to become super important. Be creative, be consistent, and I will see you next week. This was the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Like it or not, it is what it is.